Good morning, everybody. Yeah, lively crowd this morning. Saturday morning cartoon. So if you missed the Marvin Gaye, maybe you're not quite awake, but we have a pinch hitter today. Charles Musser phoned in his regretfully, but we have two experts on what we're about to see to start us off with our Saturday morning Caroliniana curricula and curiosa. So instead of Charles Musser, actually the person who's more directly responsible for rediscovering or discovering this film, tentatively entitled How the Professor Fooled the Burglars, I'm going to re-bring up Greg Wilsbacher, and Russ Sunnywick also is going to have a word to say. So come on up.
Thanks, Dan. This is a still from what we found at the core of a fragmented projection print of material that all dated prior to 1915. It was part of the Feltner collection, which was donated to the University of South Carolina in 1981. That collection has about maybe the early initial estimates were 1 million feet of nitrate, and then about an equivalent amount or more of acetate prints from C.E. Feltner, who was in Florida. He did like travel logs, and this piece had been, the staff had inspected and cataloged a few of the travel logs, and I think they tried to get started on this reel years ago, back in the 80s, when the material was starting to be vetted, but the film was in such bad shape, it was brittle and breaking apart, that when I got my hands onto it one day, mucking about in the nitrate vaults, there were three individual pieces kept together with some frame fragments. This piece, I don't think anybody really ever saw because it was a sticky, and it was at the base of the core of the what was clearly the final reel. Because at the end of this, there was a section of leader that said the end. But in addition to this piece, which is clearly fairly early, and I packed it off this frame off to Charlie Musser up at Yale for his consult on it. The other two pieces, which we haven't been able to put into any kind of projectionable format yet because they're fragmented, but we did ship it all off to Russ, and we made preservation elements, and we're going to run it through Final Cut and try to assemble everything back in order. But in addition to this piece, there is a delightful piece of early advertising film that we affectionately call Borax Man, it is on, portions of it are on Selig Polyscope stock. The American Edwardian lady who's frustrated with the quality of her wash starts to go down to the corner store, and when she gets to the corner store, which is a giant advertisement for Borax, because everything in the store is made of Borax boxes, and they're assembling this anthropomorphic robot made out of Borax boxes in the window, and she goes in, and then she says, "I want that," and then she walks home with the Borax man, who keeps trying to pat her on the butt and getting fresh with her, and he gets her into the house, and then, you know, they start. You can see some predictably unsavory things happening as they dip a dirty baby into water made of borax and then bring it back out nice and clean. But this piece is in several fragments, but we do have preservations of all elements of all the fragments. We'll try to get it all back in order. This is the Chinese Italian travel log that was it looks to be machine stenciled. It appears as if maybe two of these were cut together. The serial numbers on the intertitles are different, but both of the serial numbers on the intertitles date to 1911. Russ really enjoyed this piece working on it, I think. And it too has got to be reassembled. I think it's harder because you can't, you know, the Borax piece has an obvious narrative that you can try to piece back together. This is not quite the same case. But I'm going to leap quickly back to this first thing, just to say that when I found this, I rushed off to get Musser's Bible of Edison Filmography and poured through every entry looking for something that might reference this. And there was really only one candidate in my mind, although not that I've spent much of any time with films from this period, which was number 883 in his filmography, How the Professor Fooled the Burglar. And the description, there is no image for it, there are no other prints for this. If this indeed is this film, it's suggested production date by Musser. He has it pegged at possibly June, September 1900 off of the Vitagraph Rooftop Studios. And the description that's sitting in the catalog, and I'll just read that, And we can, there's some doubt as to about, there's some things that don't match between the description of the film. The professor, who is a renowned magician, hears someone approaching and instantly changes himself into a cloaked figure with a skull head. Two burglars enter and deal him a terrible blow on the head. One of the burglars now fills his sack. Suddenly the bag changes into the professor, who springs to the floor, and as he alights, changes again into a bag before their astonished eyes. The professor makes another lightning change and then vanishes himself, very startling and laughable. And that's from the Edison Films, July 1901. Charlie pointed out a few problems with that. There's only one burglar and not two, but I believe in typos. He then also pointed out that the Vitagraph rooftop studio is probably the likely location based on some stills that are in this filmography, and I promised Charlie that I would read his last piece of correspondence to me on this, and so I'm pretending to be Charlie Musser now. Well, Greg, this film is an interesting mystery, and thanks for showing it to me. You may well be right. It could be how the professor fooled the burglars, but the description would have to have been written by somebody who did not pay too much attention to the film, which is true. No one seems to be a burglar, and even if the man was a burglar, he is only one, how the professor fooled the burglar, ? So maybe it was another film made about the same time that Vitagraph did not turn over to Edison but sold on their own, ? You might note that the backdrop is like film number 887. That film's called The Mysterious Cafe. And like number 697, Mesmer's and the Country Couple. In fact, the way the men seem to conceal their faces in this film, that is film number 697, as well as the backdrop, seem to mark a strong affinity. So I feel pretty confident saying it is a Vitagraph film from 1899 or 1900, and possibly How the Professor Fooled a Burglar. But I think I agree with you that this is not a definitive ID. And then he goes on to say that the filmography is a catalog of Edison films, and there are many Blackton and Smith films which Edison did not distribute, and so they were not included in the filmography, and he suggests that this might be one of those films. And that's all I've got to say on the thing at the present, and Russell, come and talk about the technical aspects of doing the printing.
Thanks, Greg. So there's an open discussion right after this, and if you're of the opinion that the professor is in fact the ghost, we have to address the issue why he has a pair of band rays on. It was very exciting preserving this film from the News Film Library. We were presented with a couple problems because of the serious condition we found when we were presented with the film. We were fortunate at Color Lab to have some very serious film whisperers. We were able to isolate and quantify that the film was, in fact, the perforations, the interval between them was at 3.5%. Normal is 0 to 0.04% shrinkage. So we had to come up with a way to fix that, which we did by designing new perfs. Pins for the printer. Because the printer is designed to have a double pull down on both sides of the film, and because the fact that the film was no longer 35 millimeters wide or high, but in fact 33.2, damage would have been done, as you can imagine, had we not made these physical alterations to our equipment prior to doing this. You can see in these areas here, we call these elephant ears, and it already is showing some stretch and compromise to the sprockets as the film was delivered. Here's an example of the handwork that had to be performed on the perfs of the film in this area. Here, we're actually rebuilding perforations to maintain registration as the film is being put through the optical printer. So the biggest, again, the challenge of redesigning these pins to meet the requirements of the job was quite a challenge. We have, Julia Nickel, the head of our optical department, and Charles Brewer, our engineer, were able to redesign the pins to match the square perfs. George Eastman sold unperforated 35 millimeter black and white negative to Thomas Edison, who, of course, was designing his own cameras, so he also had to design a perforator. So the film arrived at the Edison plant without holes on the side, and Thomas perfed them on his a perforator of his own design, which is why they're square. These are the only square perfs I've ever seen on a piece of film. So applying the old principle of first do no harm, we put the new pins in, move them closer to the center of the picture to deal with the fact that the film was no longer 35 millimeters high, and the fact that the perfs were shrunk to over 3%, and went down the road. We were able to get the film to go through the printer with basically a frame at a time. Fragments are wonderful because they're so short, and this is a very tenuous thing, sitting at the printer for hour after hour, jogging along at a frame at a time. But it's what was required to get this through without doing any damage to it. So, let me go back. Here's an example of a current perf, the shape of a current perf. The black and white positive print has a rectangular perf, but with 90-degree corners. And the perfs of intermediate films, and this being a dupe negative, made directly from the positive sample presented to us on the right, has the same rectangular-shaped perf configuration, but with quasi-oval kind of graceful corners. This is, of course, the big identifying factor of being able to tell if what you're looking at is a fine grain or a projection print. So the last issue, of course, was what I can't remember what film rate or film speed this is supposed to be screened at, and since we're in the midst of James Luke and Katie, who take new, film exhibition to a new level, we see every time they come to Orphans, he's going to start running it at 12 frames a second, and if it appears slow, he'll kind of crank it up a little bit, and we'll see what happens. Thanks.